Hello and welcome. It's hour number two of our radio program as Washington, the nameless football team, wins the Monday night game. The Seahawks stumble. So where are things headed now for Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll? There are 16 teams in the NFC, and Seattle has the 15th best record, or the second worst record, depending on how you look at it. We'll break down the latest on those two knuckleheads right now in hour number two. It is not the end, but you can see the end. It's not that far away. Welcome in the beginning of yet another hour of bloviating on the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we swap notes coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the bowl. Not that bowl, the fishbowl. The Fox Sports Radio studios at a secret location somewhere in the Northwoods, and we are back at it again. We begin this hour talking about the Monday night football game. That is our lead this hour. Russell Wilson and the Seahawks sashaying their way as they rode the struggle bus into Landover, Maryland against the Washington football team to be named later. This game lacking the power of being a lead. So we had a college football story that Brian Kelly going to LSU, leaving Notre Dame. That was the big story. But if you didn't see this game, I watched it. I'm a glutton for punishment. Antonio Gibson rumbling and stumbling for 111 yards. Taylor Heinicke threw a touchdown pass, and that's all that Washington would need. They held off the Seahawks 17-15. Russell Wilson engineering a 10-play, 96-yard drive for a touchdown to Fred Swain late in the game, but the game-tying touchdown, he went back to Swain one more time, the two-point conversion, no good, picked off in the end zone, and the nameless NFL team that represents Washington, D.C.'s region improves to 5-6, and they leapfrog their way into the final NFC wildcard spot. The Vikings bumped down, and at this moment, a bunch of mediocre 5-6 teams, but Washington is the last team in. The better story, though, for our purposes, is in the losing locker room, and oh, what a story it is. It's getting even better and better as reports trickle out of the losing locker room. Seattle dropping to 3-8, and there are a total, if you look at the NFC, there are 16 teams in the NFC. They are 15th. In the National Football Conference, only the 0-10-1 Lions have a worse record. And this, the final paper cut, death by a thousand paper cuts for Seattle. They're not eliminated. They're still alive. There's a pulse, but not much of a pulse. It's a faint pulse at this point. So let us discuss the question, the bigger question. Where are things headed now for Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll? They've driven the struggle bus all season, and that struggle bus is heading towards divorce court. We've got vocal cords, standoff, and stampede. And we will combine all of these things together, and we're going to make some apple pie. Not the king of all pies, but it's close. A well-made apple pie. All right, so A, the Seahawks assumed the position that Russell Wilson, all they needed was his return from injury. And that would catapult them into contention for at least a wild card spot. You don't even have to be a winning team in the NFC to be a playoff team at this moment. And even that would not work. It has not worked. It was a failure. Russell Wilson's return, his return to playing after the shortest amount of time allotted with a finger injury, has not mattered. And you know what happens when you assume, right? This is heading towards a town down the road. It's called Splitsville for Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. And there's an old saying, if you've ever gone to the opera, and I've been dragged to the opera a time or two by my wife. There's a saying in the opera that it ain't over till the fat lady sings. And right about now, somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, there's a very large woman who is warming up. She's stretching her vocal cords as we speak to sing a lullaby for the Seattle Seahawks and talk about the good old days. Russell Wilson played relatively well early in the game and relatively well late in the game. It's that in-between part where he sucked at a time you cannot suck. I thought he was terrible for most of the second half, and the two-minute drive saved him. But the ultimate stat, when you look at an offense, is how many points did you score? Right? The eyeball test says not that good. The numbers actually looked better in the box score than the eyeball test. But ultimately, he didn't do enough. The offense generated a grand total of 13 points. The other 2 points were scored on the very rare blocked extra point by Seattle special teams that was returned for a two-point conversion the other way. But this was an anemic offense. Seattle had one drive that went 10 plays or longer. And that was the final drive of the night with 2:19 left in the hurry-up offense. They were able to matriculate the ball down the field. But Washington, on the other side, they were able to generate four drives of 10 or more plays, including another masterpiece of a drive. Didn't turn in any points, but talk about killing the clock in the fourth quarter, a 16-play, 89-yard drive that took off almost 9 minutes of the game clock, and it ended up with a turnover on downs, a fourth down pass to Logan Thomas, the Washington tight end in the end zone. It was ruled incomplete on instant replay because it had hit the ground. But Washington, 5-2 in conference, and that gives them a gigantic advantage. You look at the tiebreaker situation, gigantic advantage over Minnesota, Atlanta, and New Orleans, the other teams that are 5-6 on that same 5-6 line in the NFC. Now, part B of this, Pete Carroll, he knows a thing or two about the end of coaching gigs. He's been there. This is not his first barbecue. And so he also realizes that the end is near. You can tell by reading his body language. Pete Carroll, this guy's a football lifer. And what I saw was a guy that knows this ain't going to end. It's not going to end the way I want it to end. And I'm going to be out of here. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to do something else. And he's been in these situations in the past, not a long time. Normally, over the last 20 years, he's called the shot. He knew that the investigators for the NCAA were on the trail of USC. He got tipped off. He's left to go to the NFL. He's been in a wonderful situation, the Goldilocks zone in Seattle, Pete Carroll, but all things come to an end. And the end is near. He looked like a guy waiting, just waiting for the other shoe to drop here. We're facing some old-fashioned drama here. It's going to be a Western, old-fashioned Western standoff. Pete Carroll, who runs the show, versus Russell Wilson, the hippie versus Mr. Unlimited. Who wins the power play? Who's going to win the power play? Do you pick the chief architect of the last however many years Pete Carroll's been there? It seems like he's been there forever in Seattle. Or do you pick the longtime pupil?
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Yeah. Well, that would be the likely option, all things being equal. Russell Wilson is the favorite because of the age game. Russ just turned 33 years old yesterday. It was his birthday.
So go Hawks.
He's
go
got, Hawks. I'm not going to say he's Tom Brady, but let's say he's your normal star quarterback in the NFL. They can typically perform at a relatively high level till around the age of 37. So let's give him another 4 years, okay? Pete Carroll is 70 years old. Advantage goes to the younger person. Now, we will tell you, we are hearing some amazing reports out of the Seahawk locker room that Russell Wilson was a ball of tears following this loss to Washington. And the media that saw Wilson leaving the locker room, his eyes were said to be red and noticeably moist, like he had just been crying following the game. We do not know much more than that, but that is the story here, that Russell Wilson was apparently crying after the game. They said there's no crying in baseball. They never said there's no crying in football. All right, last word here. So the wild card in this scenario, as the Seahawks have run the struggle bus off the road like Richard Sherman driving the old Seahawk, the wild card in this scenario is that everyone's gone, that there is a stampede out of the Pacific Northwest. It's na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, hey-hey, goodbye, just like that. Will the last person leaving Seattle turn out the lights? The party's over, right? Russell Wilson, we know from his interviews on Fox Sports Radio with Dan Patrick that he implied that he's interested in looking elsewhere. The grass is greener. He wants to see how green the grass is elsewhere. And we've heard whispers the people that are in the inner circle of Mr. Unlimited would like to see him on a bigger stage.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
And you look around, that New York Giant quarterback job's going to be open. They're going to change the GM. They're probably going to change the coach in New York. So Russell Wilson to New York. How about the Philadelphia Eagles? I think the Jalen Hurts Marching and Chowder Society popped a tire in that game against the Giants for Philadelphia. And, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a possibility with Ben Roethlisberger being donezo there in Pittsburgh. So there are plenty of possibilities, and there's others that will pop up that will be surprise options for Russell Wilson. And he can get more commercials and be on a bigger spotlight on him and rah-rah and all that stuff, the razzmatazz. Now, Pete Carroll, it's also possible he gets the itch to leave. It's like, I don't want to start over with some no-name quarterback, some loser, and my future is going to be filled with art. That's right, nice art. But, of course, when I say art, I'm talking about like a makeup artist that he can walk out of Seattle, Pete Carroll, and right into a sports casting gig. There is a job waiting for Pete Carroll. He is a blabbermouth. He has the gift of gab. The boob tube pays pretty good money for verbosity, and Pete Carroll is the kind of guy, having dealt with him back in his SC days, very positive guy. We all know Pete. You don't have to have been around him just to watch his news conferences. Very positive guy, the kind of guy that could sell trash to a garbage man, and the garbage man would think he got a great deal out of it. That's the kind of guy Pete Carroll is, and those kind of guys have a long run on television. So Pete could move back to Malibu and hang out and work at the NFL Network or Fox, or if he wants to go to Connecticut, he can go do that and work at ESPN. But there'll be a job there, or CBS. I mean, any of the networks will hire Pete. There's plenty of jobs out there available. He can get the gig there because he's a guy that can talk. He's got the blabbermouth in him, as we said. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. Let's listen to some of the post-game reaction. We'll start with Pete Carroll. Yet again, in the losing locker room, here is Pete summing up the state of the Seahawks at this point.
Really frustrating trip, forced to come all the way out and hang in the game. You know, we didn't play very well, complimentary at all. But to have a chance to be right there at the end, I'm really proud of the way these guys keep battling and fighting hard and doing what we need to do.
Doing what you need to do to be 3-8. The Lions also fight hard. They haven't won a game yet. Seattle had 10 first downs in the game. 10. That's it. 10 first downs. Washington had 27. Here is Russell Wilson. And here's Russ. He's very robotic when his team loses. Here is Russell Wilson on what the Seahawks will do now.
What I do know is I know there's only one way to respond, and that's with your head up, your mind right, with great language. That's with perspective that, you know, everything in life isn't always easy, and even in your careers and whatever it may be in sports. But I do know that we will be better. I do know that we'll continue to work to be better every day.
Yeah, okay. That's right off one of those Tony Robbins calendars.
I know that I'm a great football player. You know, yes. I know I've been great. I know I will be great. I know I'll continue to be great.
Yeah, well, not this year. DK Metcalf, that was one of the storylines. If you saw the game, DK Metcalf did not have a catch until there was a little over a minute to go in the game. He was only targeted 4 times. This is one of the cyborg receivers in the NFL today, a great talent, and he was not getting the ball. And here is Russell Wilson, who was asked about, why would you not throw the ball to DK Metcalf? He seems like a pretty good receiver. What are you thinking?
Obviously, we need to get DK the football. You know, we actually called several plays for him. You know, he had actually a sweet deep cross that he was going to be wide open, maybe for a touchdown. I had to move. That's the one I threw to AC down the left sideline. That was unfortunate because that was after the big play to Tyler. And then here comes DK on a big play, hopefully.
Yeah. So a lot of bull crap. The after the fact. Yeah, we're going to get him the ball more. Well, you could have gotten the ball more in this game. In fact, on the two-point conversion, DK Metcalf, the two-point conversion that would have forced overtime, DK Metcalf was wide open. And Russell Wilson did not throw him the ball. He ended up throwing a pass that got picked off in that situation. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. If you'd like to be part, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Also on Twitter, at Ben Maller, real-time feedback. You can also submit music if you would like. Contact myself or Coop Aloop. My email address, benmallershow@gmail.com. Coop, you can call him up or send him a message on Twitter. And we love holiday music. The company has mandated holiday music, so we like to put our own spin on it. We've had several songs already submitted, but we've got an entire month of content that we have to have bumper music for, and so we need your help. If you have the musical gift, we would love for you to submit a song, and we'll if it's good, we'll play it on the air, and you can brag to your friends that you had a song played on 400 radio stations while everyone was sleeping, while no one was awake, but you had it played. You don't have to tell them that part. You can leave that part out. They don't need to know that part. All right, straight ahead. Can someone call a plumber? We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Mr. Unlimited.
Unlimited.
You gotta be unlimited.
Unlimited. Unlimited.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The power of the people in the Maller Militia. Get the most out of the Ben Maller Show listening experience by adding your touch. Take a few seconds to follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our executive producer. He is manning the phones, but he's more than just a call screener. He's the liar, and the menace of the Fox Sports Radio Network. It's the Coop de Loop, Justin Cooper, and he's at UH Bronco Fan.
His airness.
More great answers like that coming up next hour with Maller's Mountain of Money. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Never gets old. This is Ohio Al. I never imagined that Koopaloop screening calls would be lyrics in a song, but we've reached that point.
He just said good someone's job. Looking at porn. Was that Blair? Was he
well... could be. The great Ohio Al there. Thank you, Al. Tremendous job, as always. Appreciate your many contributions to this program. What a talent right there with Mr. PC, our buddy in Maine, and our guy in Richmond. So we got,
I just heard Brian Finley's name.
Oh, we got to edit that out. Edit that out there. Man. The Russian kid writes in, says he's going Detroit to Atlanta. He says, Jared Goff said, hello, Ben. He misses L.A., and the Russian kid sent a photo of his big rig in a massive snowstorm somewhere in the greater Detroit area there. It's let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It's a winter wonderland. Justin writes in, says this is a different Justin than the other Justin that calls or writes from Cincinnati, says that this Justin says the wheels on the Seahawks bus go round and round and round and round until you throw an interception in the last play of the Super Bowl. This is the end. There you go. So, Jim Morris, he says, Andrea points out it's actually 58 cents to mail a letter first class. There you go. We're still. I did some math on that. At 55 cents, I was right. It was roughly $1,400 a year that our friend Andy Furman spends on postage. I was left drowning. We will take your calls, though. Let's do that right now at 877-99 on Fox. We began the hour yapping about the Seahawks and the team to be named later in Washington. Let's go to Skeeter in Montana. Hello, Skeeter.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Maller. Was I ever surprised yesterday morning? I get a joint tweet from Eek and Illinois Ted, and a single one from the great the late night drug tester, Stan, that you mentioned me in a great homage and reference. Tammy Wynette. And
well, of course, Skeeter, Tammy Wynette is associated with you, Skeeter. So, yes, indirectly, you were mentioned that I used Tammy Wynette as a reference in a Maller monologue. I thought you'd appreciate that. You must have gone to bed early there, Skeeter. Did you go to bed early?
Yeah, some nights I do because I have to get up early when my caregiver gets here.
Okay, and, all right, I got you.
I was really surprised, and I didn't know what the hell it was all about.
Well, Skeeter, no. It's as you know, because you're such a big fan of Tammy Wynette's music back in the day, her classic song, Stand By Your Man, right, Skeeter? That's an all-time great, and I use that in reference to Sean McVay standing by Matthew Stafford. So that
I appreciate that, and a great monologue. I often wondered when they're going to get rid of that Irishman, and I hope that the replacement. Well,
yes, they call him the Irishman is what they call him. That's how they Brian Kelly, the Irishman. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Skeeter. I'm glad you're alive and well, buddy. I hope you're taking care of yourself and everything's going well for you. So thanks for checking in, bud.
Yeah.
All right. Go to bed. All right. There you go. Our friend Skeeter there, staying up
late. Maller's the best. Then there's the rest.
We have this thing called the Maller Militia Oath, which was started because of Skeeter. That is Skeeter's contribution to the show. So if you want to take the Maller Militia Oath and become an official sworn-in member of the Maller Militia, you can call up and repeat the oath. And what a gift that was by Skeeter. We had no idea when we came up with that because Skeeter wanted to take the oath to be an official member of the Maller Militia. We had no idea that that would inspire some tremendously entertaining drops of callers trying to repeat the oath, completely inebriated or half asleep, and it was just marvelous. Let's go to Sir Eats-a-Lot, somewhere in Arkansas. Hello, Sir Eats-a-Lot.
What's going on, Ben?
Hello.
What's going on, my favorite person in the world?
Oh, I'm your favorite. I'm going to tell Jonas you said that. He's going to be very upset with you.
No, brother, hang on just a minute. I didn't want that Maller Militia to go cry Friday night when I talked to Brian Doe, buddy, so I didn't mention your name. I let it go, Big Ben. I let it go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how can we help you? What can we do for you?
I want to say something to you. The other night, I told you that our dadgum Rams, I tell you what, I think old Matt Stafford just kept throwing it to the dadgum cheeseheads because it seemed like every time he threw the pass, it went to the cheeseheads. But I didn't get to place my bet what I wanted to say I wanted. And all I wanted was two gold tickets to pass out to two of my good callers. One of them I've been scrapping all year that I didn't mean to scrap. I got the wrong lady. And Angry Bill, I like that old boy calling in. You know, I think I need to give out two gold tickets.
Angry Bill does not need to be encouraged. There's no need to encourage his act. His act is played out. Most of the content that Angry Bill provides doesn't even make the air. There's no need for that. And you're being a little over dramatic here, Sir Eats-a-Lot. Matthew Stafford.
No, I've not been.
He threw one interception against the Packers. You said every time he was throwing to the Green Bay Packers, there was one interception in that game. That's it, one.
Hey, what was so cool, though? Let's go to another game, okay? The Rams, we're going to roll out sooner or later, but tonight when Washington was playing, I got to see that, you know, a little bit. You know, my wife sitting there, you know, she got off from nursing until I had to leave out. So I got half a game. And when J.D. McKissick, my boy, went across that touchdown, got up there in the crowd, they pat him on the back, and they turned around and missed that field goal. I'm like, man, this is crazy, you know? And it was just a crazy game. I see they finally won, and I stick with death about that, J.D. getting to win a game, you know.
Yes. Well, the many people, the only reason they pull for the Washington former Redskins is because of J.D. McKissick. That's it. He's the reason.
They was talking about him, old. They was talking about him. The boys was doing the show. They was talking about J.D., and I'm going to tell you something. Y'all need to start using J.D. in some of your pictures. J.D.'s the man.
Impressive. I tell you what, to get 30 yards out of J.D. McKissick was a very impressive performance. And those 5 yards, what do you have, 26 yards in the pass game? So that 56 total yards, very impressive.
Yeah, he just he's a good kid too, yeah. Man. He's have long dreads in his hair and his red at the end, but he's just a good kid.
So that is what the no, just for the record, Sir Eats-a-Lot. So the local sports radio in what city are you in Arkansas? Where are you based at?
I live in Jonesboro, home of the Red Wolves.
Okay, so in Jonesboro, Arkansas, my colleagues who do local radio, they're doing conversation on JT McKissick. That's the conversation.
And it's a ticket to get to Fox Station that when the Crazy Boys come on. It's at 6.
Yeah.
Your time 4. But
that's right.
Anyway,
all right.
Man, I just.
All right. Well, thank you for the update, sir. I got to move on, but no food update from Sir Eats-a-Lot. We'll have to wait for that. I know you're dying for that content.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Another guy getting paid, Corey Seager. Going to the Texas Rangers, 10 years, $325 million.
That's a train heist is what that is.
This is one day after the Rangers signed second baseman Marcus Semien to a seven-year, $175 million contract.
You know what that means, Eddie? We're going to get our friend Ed in Arlington is going to call up for a deep dive on Texas Rangers baseball now. Yeah.
That sounds really exciting. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the content we need.
None of those guys can pitch, though.
If it's a blowout, you can throw him up there.
Who knows?
Yeah. Throw him up there. Yeah. Well, they got that new ballpark. They got some money to play with. And, hey, anybody in the American League West not named the Astros, they want to spend some money. Yeah, let's just keep the a-holes out of the playoffs altogether. I'm all for that. That's what I say. All right. Thank you, Eddie. It is the Ben Maller Show. We will have a full Maller monologue on baseball. Some of the big moves in baseball next hour. It will not reference Robbie Ray, who a couple years ago had an ERA over 6 and now is getting paid $100 million from the Seattle Mariners. He had a great year last year, but timing. Timing is the key. It's all about that.
Javi Baez signing overnight.
Javi Baez agreeing to a deal with the Detroit Tigers. That's got to be a blow to Carlos Correa, the cheating Astro, because most assumed he was going to Detroit because the Tigers have embraced the cheating culture of the a-holes. Does Baez go?
The Yankees.
Does Correa go to the Red Sox?
Or Yankees.
I got Correa and Cora, though, together in Boston. They can move him around. I know they got Xander Bogaerts there, but they can move him. Yankees. I'd love to see that news conference if the Yankees sign Carlos Correa. I'd like to see that. How about a wild card team? Who's the wild card team? The mystery team? Toronto? Correa to Toronto?
The Angels. Could mention it earlier.
Toronto signed a cheating Astro last year. They can sign another one this year. They can have back-to-back years at a cheating Astro. And I would love to hear from one of our listeners in the Washington, D.C. area if you are up late and you attended the NFL game between the team formerly known as the Redskins and the Seahawks. I need an eyewitness account because there are multiple reports that we are getting here that indicate for the second time this NFL season there was a sewage leak at the stadium, FedEx Field.
Oh, I was at the first one.
Yeah, you were there, Eddie. Yeah. You witnessed the first poop water early in the season. Well, it's said to have happened again, Eddie. There is video that has popped up on social media for the second time this season. It appears the plumbing system has leaked dirty sewage on top of the Washington fan that they have gotten the gift of sewer water coming down there. And so isn't this, if it happens once, right, then that's on you. If it happens twice, though, right, this is now twice. I'm looking at
it. Well,
it
happened in Oakland like 100 times, so that's no big deal.
That is true. Does that mean Washington's going to move now to Vegas? Is that what that means? Like the Raiders. But I'm looking there, and it's so funny because the shot has, it says, proud partner of the Washington football team, and they have these sponsors on the video board, and you can see the water coming down there, the nasty foul. Now, they denied, in September, you were at that game, the season opener, they denied that it was actually poop water. They said it was not. They denied it, but people that witnessed it said different.
Yeah, the people who had it on them said it was. Yeah. I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So this was.
If you watch the video of it, you hear one of the fans like, "That's sewage."
Yeah. But the team, of course, no. It was drinking water that just happened to come raining
sparkling
down.
Water. It was.
Yeah. Well, and as an added bonus, Eddie, you know, we're at the time of the year now where it's, you know, hey, it's late November, almost December. It's not in a lot of the NFL cities. It's not exactly the warmest time of the year. So is it better? Here's the question. Is it better to have poop water on you when it's warm or cold? Oh, God. That's the question. Because it was 38 degrees at kickoff.
Definitely cold.
So this is the advantage. So you'd rather have the cold weather if you're going to have poop water. Because the hot, the smell kind of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Poop fest.
But you don't want to be all wet when it's cold out, though. You know, that's going to.
That's true.
There's a better chance that that any larger particles are frozen and therefore easily just brushed off, you know?
Do they allow you to shower at the stadium?
That's
can you
good
go in the locker
right
room?
There.
And wait another few weeks until it's totally below freezing, and then man, you can have frozen poop water that'll stick to you. That's man, oh man. Well, let's look down the line here. So it's already getting chilly, and then Washington still has in week 17 their last home game is against the Eagles, January 2nd. So it should be really, really cold by that point in time. And so make sure you sit right under the plumbing there at FedEx Field because that's where you want to be. All right, let's go back to the phones. Phalexis, America's favorite drag queen caller outside of Buffalo. Hello, Phalexis.
Well, hello, Ben. Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. It is the second night, the Festival of Lights. Two nights in, six to go.
It's the night of giving, Ben. You know that.
Yes, I'm giving you airtime. Congratulations.
And I'm giving you entertainment. So it's a two-way street.
Well, that is yet to be determined. Eddie will be the judge. Eddie will decide whether this call is entertaining.
Oh, don't talk about that thief. He's a thief. He stole my idea for my song.
Really?
Shame on you, Eddie. What did I ever do to you?
No, it was my idea.
No, it was my idea.
No, it was my idea.
Ask Tammy from Montana. She'll back me up.
Is she on the phone right now?
No,
oh,
I don't
you don't
see
like
her
anyway.
I love Tammy.
You don't like
I don't know
Tammy?
What are you talking about?
What do you have? You have a problem with Tammy, Montana?
I don't like Tammy.
No, I love Tammy.
Why do you not like Tammy?
No,
I'm hearing, Eddie, that you don't like Tammy. Why do you not like Tammy?
It's
what's
a
wrong
lie.
With
I love Tammy.
Oh, my God. Eddie's not only a thief, he's a liar.
What have I ever said anything bad about Tammy?
Hang up on yourself, Eddie.
That's great evidence. Name one time I've said something bad about Tammy.
Oh, you don't have to. It's just your attitude when she calls.
Oh, I know it's my attitude when you call. This is not an entertaining call, by the way, Ben.
No, Phalexis, you lied, Phalexis. You said you were going to provide entertainment. This is not entertaining. And you shouldn't complain. Eddie came up with the idea. What do you care? You just want the song to be made. You don't care. You just want your name to be in a song. That's all you want. That's all you need. And if Eddie got you closer to getting that song made, you should be happy. You should congratulate Eddie. Say thank you, Eddie.
Hey, Ben. Ben.
What?
Kiss my grits.
All right. See you. Bye. I got to go. Bye.
All right. I changed my mind. It is no longer Phalexis got run over by a reindeer. We need someone else.
How about beer drinking Brian?
There you go.
That works.
Done. Beer drinking Brian. Okay. It doesn't really flow as well as Phalexis, but beer drinking Brian got run over by a reindeer.
A talented musician can make it happen. Or that crazy guy in Minnesota that only calls once every 3 months, right? The guy that worked at the morgue but says he doesn't work at the morgue anymore, and that guy, you know.
Hayes.
Hayes, yeah. All right, time now for the instant trivia. Broncos defensive back Patrick Surtain II is the first NFL rookie to have two interceptions and a touchdown in a single game since blank. That is the instant trivia. The answer, and Maller to the third degree, next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
4 out of 5 nocturnal listeners of Sports Radio choose the Ben Maller Show to combat insomnia. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We need your help to grow the Maller Militia. And now live in the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And here's the instant trivia with Maller to the third degree coming up. Broncos defensive back Patrick Surtain II is the first NFL rookie to have two interceptions and a touchdown in a single game since blank. You got to fill in the blank, and you will be declared the winner of the instant trivia. Double O Mexican in San Diego is going with Charles Woodson as his answer. Who else do we have? Just Josh says, I forgot the question, so my fallback answer is the letter C. That is my fallback answer. Who else do we have? Page down. Fats from Philly checks in. He says, it's Mr. Hankey, the FedEx Stadium Poo, is the stinky answer. That's the new mascot for the NFL team, formerly known as the Redskins. Who else do we have? Popeye the Sailor Man, guessed by Mr. Nice Guy. Look at that. I had no idea you got that tattoo. That's a good looking tattoo. Interesting placement on that from Mr. Nice Guy. We're learning about him. Who else do we have? Robin Vegas says Latino Heat Eddie Guerrero is the answer. Benny Blades from Malibu Reuben. Eddie, do you have an answer, Eddie?
I do. It's former Buffalo Bills defensive back Mark Kelso and his big helmet.
Mark Kelso, fine answer. No, it is journeyman defensive back Marcus Peters, who's injured right now from the Ravens. He did it with the Chiefs during the 2015 season back in the day.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, Coop Daloop.
So Adam Schefter got roasted by the sports world and accused of being a mouthpiece on Sunday when he reported that league sources say that Cliff Kingsbury is being targeted by Oklahoma. Ben, do you think Schefter is being a puppet for Cliff Kingsbury's agent?
No, I am an Adam Schefter toady, though. I've known Adam since he was a writer in Denver, before he became Adam Schefter, the guy he's known as today. But every single insider that I've been around are beholden to agents and executives. 85% of the sporting news come hand-delivered on a room service cart from those people. And this Kingsbury story, I do not believe, is a bogus story that Oklahoma would love to hire an NFL coach. And we'll talk more about this later, but they're big game hunting. So I think there is actually something to this. Next!
After the Falcons win on Sunday, Matt Ryan told the media that being, quote, in the mix is all you can ask for, and that Atlanta's best football is ahead of them. Ben, at 5-6, he's technically not wrong about being in the mix in the NFC, but how long will they be in the mix for?
Yeah, so they're a faux contender, just like Minnesota and New Orleans and Washington. You're not taken seriously if you're under 500. You're a fraudulent team. And I've seen the Falcons play a couple times, and they have the quality of a peewee all-star squad. It's JV versus varsity. Within 3 weeks, we can bury the birds. The Falcons play the Buccaneers, the 49ers, sandwiched around the Panthers. So they'll be 6-8. Hell, the NFC, they might still be alive, but they shouldn't be. Next!
During yesterday's show, you talked about reports of Max Scherzer signing with the Mets, and that happened. But there are actually a lot of signings in baseball over the weekend. Which was your favorite?
Well, the one that blew me away was, and it was announced on Monday, but Marcus Semien leaving Toronto, a great year with the Blue Jays, getting a $125 million contract. I've always thought of him as kind of like an average big league player, pretty good at times, not great, had a great year last year, and he's 31 years old. He gets a seven-year contract. Good for him, but that's the one that was like, I can't believe he got that contract from the Rangers, and then they signed Seager. How'd we do, Coop Daloop?
You pass this edition.
That is a winner. Put it on the board. Yes. Cha-ching, cha-ching.